as John mentioned, we're still in the Gospel of Luke. There's a lot of really good stuff there. This is chapter 21. So it's Luke 21. We're going to begin in 5. We're going to read through 19. Some of the disciples were talking about the temple. How beautiful it looked with its fine stones and the gifts offered to God. Jesus said, "All this you see, the time will come when not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one will be thrown down." "A teacher," they asked, "when will this be, and what will happen in order to show that the time has come for it to take place?" Jesus said, "Watch out. Don't be fooled. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and the time has come, but don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and revolutions. Such things must happen first, but they do not mean that the end is near." He went on to say, "Countries will fight each other, kingdoms will attack one another. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and plagues everywhere. There will be strange and terrifying things coming from the sky. Before all these things take place, however, you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be handed over to be tried in synagogues and be put in prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. This will be your chance to tell the good news. Make up your minds ahead of time not to worry about how you will defend yourselves, because I will give you such words and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to refute or contradict what you say. You will be handed over by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends. And some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a single hair from your heads will be lost. Stand firm, and you will save yourselves." These are the words of God. Praise be to Him for a chance to read them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear this morning what you're trying to say to us through these scriptures. We admit to being distracted sometimes. We admit to being hard-hearted and stiff-necked sometimes. And so this morning, would you come and just work a work in us so that we can hear what you want us to hear and understand what we need to understand and be obedient to what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is very good scripture. It's very interesting. It's actually a scripture that is an encouraging one, although it talks about some of us might be persecuted. Some might even die. But the promise in this is that God will watch over us. Do you remember the movie Finding Nemo? And Nemo is kind of an adventurous fish and takes off on his own. And then he gets caught up in all kinds of stuff. And he's in the world. And the most thing that he wants is to get back home. But what Nemo doesn't realize is that although he's stuck out in the world, his father is looking for him and won't give up. And so it's a great ending. The father finds Nemo, doesn't he? In that process, the father gets kind of discouraged because things are kind of tough. And then there's this Dory that comes along. And she says, "Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming." This scripture is all about to the disciples, to you and to me. Don't lose the faith. Hang on to it tightly. Just keep going. We're a curious lot, we humans. We worry about everything. We even worry about when the world is going to come to an end. Maybe there's going to be a nuclear holocaust and that'll be it. The earth will be struck by a meteor and that'll change the climate and we're all going to disappear. Maybe the sun will go out and then we'll all freeze. Maybe UFOs are real and they're coming to get us. Interesting, isn't it, that we think about all this stuff. It just comes natural to us. We can dream more ways of the human race being in jeopardy than there could possibly be. Even the Christians in this world aren't immune from this thinking sometimes. Unless we completely trust in Jesus. You have read the book. Keep on reading it a little bit every day. And in the book it tells us what will happen. The world is not going to come to an end. It will be remade at some point when Jesus returns. But we can trust in all of that. So this week in the scriptures, we meet up with Jesus. It is the week that we call Holy Week now. It's the week before his crucifixion and his resurrection. And the disciples and Jesus are staying in a little town called Bethany, and it's a couple miles from Jerusalem. And so they would walk down the hill into Jerusalem in the morning, and they would do all that they did, and then they would walk back up the hill in the evening. And one night they're walking back up, and one of the things about going up to Bethany is you can see the city of Jerusalem. And of course, the temple is so prominent. And I can almost picture it in the light of dusk as they're walking home and the beauty of the sunshine on the temple. And so the disciples were talking about how beautiful it was. And then Jesus spoke to them. He said something totally shocking, totally surprising. He said, "You think this is wonderful?" And it is. One day, this will all disappear. It will be knocked down. It will no longer be there. There will not be a stone left standing. Now the disciples didn't realize that this was only a few decades away. When the Romans would come, they would burn the temple. They would literally destroy it. There wouldn't be anything there that was recognizable. But at that point, the disciples are wondering, because remember, as humans, we're curious, "Oh, Jesus, if this is going to happen, then what's the sign so that we can be watching for it, so that we can know that it's coming?" And Jesus was using this comment to help these disciples figure out what the church really is. You've heard it before. The church is not the building. The church is you. The church is you, the people. A number of years ago, we started attending a church. It was where both Barbara and I and our kids all found Christ and gave our lives to him. Part of the history of that particular church was they were in a small building. It was in the middle of town, and they had outgrown it. And there were some folks that wanted to go ahead and get some land someplace and build a new building. And others didn't want that at all. Oh, how could they ever leave that building? They had worshipped there so much. Their families had all gone to it. Oh, yes, the building was so old. Oh, yes, The building had no land whatsoever around it to expand. And oh yes, the building had absolutely zero parking. But how could we ever think of leaving a building that we've spent so much time worshiping in? My good friend, a colleague in ministry says that, and he shocked me when he first said it, but I think he's wise. He said every church should celebrate their 25th anniversary and then move, so that people don't get attached to the building. This decision for that church that we became a part of was taken care of. Of course, they'd been praying, but one night, burglar came in and to cover the crime, set the place on fire. And then the decision was taken out of their hands, and they found some land, and they built a new church. Building that was, but they were still the church. When they met at the Boys and Girls Brigade in Nina, they were still the church. It was a great lesson. Some of the Jews that were with Jesus that day, they couldn't possibly believe that the temple would ever be destroyed. It was so strong. And after all, that was the place that you knew the presence of God was with them. And yet it happened. There's only a little bit of the foundation that's left. We believe as Christians, it's the place called the Wailing Wall. And you can see it on TV if you've been blessed to go to Israel. You can go there. One of the distinctions of the Wailing Wall is you write out little prayers on pieces of paper and you fold them up and you shove them in the cracks of the stones. And once a year, the Jewish priests come and they clean all of those things out. And then in a great prayer service, they burn them. The imagery, of course, is all of those prayers going up to Almighty God. The people were beginning to be concerned about if the temple is gone, how will we worship? And Jesus wasn't giving them a real straight answer. He said, oh, by the way, if you're looking for a sign that everything's going to be destroyed and I'll come again, he said, there's going to be all kinds of false teachers out there. There's going to be all kinds of false prophets. And when you see them, when they talk to you, don't you believe them, because they're not real. Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, a couple of comedians, a good long time ago, they did a comedy skit. They called it the 2013-year-old man. And I'm caught by that with the date on our calendar. But in this skit, Reiner is a newspaper reporter and he's interviewing Brooks, who is the old man, and the old man is a part of a church. And so Reiner asked the old man, he said, did you always believe in the Lord? And Brooks replied, no. We had a guy in our village, his name was Phil. And for a time we worshiped Phil. And Reiner says, you worshiped a guy named Phil, why? And Brooks replies, because he was big and mean and he could break you in half with his bare hands. And Reiner asks, did you have prayers? And Brooks says, oh yes, would you like to hear one? Oh Phil, please don't be mean and hurt us and break us in half with your bare hands. And then Reiner, as the reporter, he asks, he says, well, when did you start worshiping the Lord? And Brooks replied, he said, well, one day there was a big thunderstorm and there was lightning that hit Phil. And there he was on the ground. We walked over to see him. We saw that he was dead and we stood up and said, there's something bigger than Phil. You see, this is the reason that you and I don't have to worry. There is something bigger than this earth. There is something bigger than all the squabbles and all the troubles and all the trials that you and I might go through. And of course, the one that is bigger, his name is I Am. He is the Holy God. Jesus has taught us that there's going to be terrible things that will happen before Jesus comes again, but we're not to lose heart. God is with us. God has not lost control of this earth. And then Jesus said to those who were there listening that day, he said, you know, if you choose to follow me, if you choose to believe in me, you will not escape suffering. Some of you are going to be arrested. Some will be persecuted. Some will even have to give their lives, all for the sake of believing in Jesus. The disciples were going to learn very quickly that their loyalty to Jesus was going to get them kicked out of the temple, kicked out of Judaism. Barbara and I have two wonderful, lovely daughters, and they went to college at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. That's just outside of Lexington. And our youngest one, Lisa, started attending an Orthodox church in Lexington. It's a wonderful place to go and worship, my friends. The folks that are there are very serious about their relationship with God, and they worship with power. And so it was always good to go there. Part of the story you have to understand, though, is there's a boy involved in this. Ben had been going to the church. Ben is now our son-in-law. He's a wonderful young man. But when we would go to the church, one of the things that I would notice, there were so many people there that were from the Middle East. And so one day I asked Lisa, I said, how come so many are here from so far away in the world? And she said, well, Daddy, don't you know? They were Muslim. But when they accepted Jesus, they couldn't stay in their own hometown. They were considered non-people. They couldn't have a job. They couldn't have a home. And so knowing Jesus, they came to the United States to find others who believed as they believed in Jesus. Some people, because they believe in Jesus, will be kicked out of places that they've known all their lives. It doesn't happen too much in the United States. Praise God for that. Jesus even tells us, he says, you know, when you get persecuted because you believe in Jesus, that's just a mark that I'm really with you. That's just an opportunity for you to witness to that person who is persecuting you, maybe by your lifestyle, maybe if you're blessed with words, to be able to share them with them. But even if you're the one that is to share them with words, I want you not to worry. You don't have to sit down to your word processor and put together a 4-page script of your testimony. When you get there at that particular time, at that particular moment, I'll give you all the words that you need. Often that's one of the prayers that I speak to the Heavenly Father, is that I'm going into this place or this situation and I'm not quite sure what to do, and I really want to touch somebody's life because I know they need you, Father. So would you give me the opportunity, and then would you give me the words? And he has never failed. He won't fail you if you get a chance to do that either. Jesus said that some people, because they believe in him, will be even betrayed by their own families, by their own friends. That some of us will be hated just because we believe in the name of Jesus. Christians of every age have had to face this possibility of being ostracized, of not being listened to. Believe it or not, even in the United States, our Christian beliefs are not always welcome in places. In our society, it is no longer politically correct in certain places, in certain situations, to read the Bible out loud to people, to speak in the name of Jesus, to pray. Oh, my friends, we have much work to do, but this is something that we should not be surprised at. This is part of what Jesus is teaching us. And then he says, I want you not to worry, because I'm watching over you, me and Dad. You know, we get to call God Abba, Daddy. Me and Dad, we're watching over you. As a matter of fact, not a hair on your head will be harmed. Some of us have a little less to work with than some of you others, but God is going to watch over every single hair on your head. This is good news. This is wonderful news. If you believe in Jesus, you have the opportunity and the promise. Jesus never broke a promise. He said, if you believe unto me, you can have eternal life. And we understand that's going to be in a place called heaven. So for now, has it ever cost you anything in your life for believing in Jesus? Have you ever been kind of pushed aside at your workplace because you don't like the kind of jokes that other people like, and you don't like some of the TV shows that some of the other people like, because you know that that's not what Jesus would have for you? Have you ever lost a promotion because you're just one of those? This is just part of the losses that come. Jesus predicted it. He said, get ready for it. The rejection, I mean, but do not worry. I am with you. When you feel abandoned because you believe in Jesus, just know that he will come and comfort you. He will protect you. And he will give you the strength to stand, even when you're not sure you can stand. Stand up for who you are in Christ. You don't have to shout it. People aren't hard of hearing. But you might be blessed for them to be able to hear you tell the story of what Jesus has done for you. Oh yes, my friend, some of you will be hated for your relationship with Jesus the Christ. But on that day when he returns, whether we're alive and we join him in the air, or we're already in heaven and we're watching from there, it's going to be nothing but glory. Nothing but glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these words of instruction and encouragement. And humbly we ask for your help in guiding us in how to live up to them. What an awesome God you are. How much you must love us. Amen.